Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey friends, good morning and welcome to Taking It Outdoors. We're talking about some ice fishing this morning for the first time this year. Hope the new year has been kind to you so far. I would like to introduce you to our featured guests this morning, both frequent contributors to the program, one more than another, but we value both of your contributions. Ladies and gentlemen, first up, Mike Rogers. Mike's been here before. He's with Ice Masters Elite. He's also, are you still president of Sodus Point Bass Club?
As far as I know.
They haven't
voted me out yet.
No impeachment pending. I didn't know with the new year if there was a new guy taking over. How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. Yourself?
On top of the world, man. Happy to be talking a little fishing. We also have Mark Hertline in studio with us. Mark is a fishing instructor. He's a tournament angler, a fishing guide, and a pro staffer for many fine brands. Mark, it's always good to see you. Thanks for coming back into the program.
It's funny not to be introduced as the Sodus Point Bass Club president anymore, and the new one sitting right next to me.
I know. I got your predecessor in the studio.
Well, he does a good job.
As a surprise to both of you, I have the next president, Tim Vercuzzi. Come on in. I'm just kidding. There's a little inside joke for the Sodus Point boys. Guys, I wanted to talk a little ice fishing today. First of all, I mentioned Mike Rogers. He's with Ice Masters Elite, and that's an ice fishing tournament series. If somebody is unfamiliar with it or this is the first time they're hearing about it, tell them about your tournament.
Well, you can start off by going right on Facebook and looking up Ice Masters Elite. It's a series. It's a continuance of points events. And we do have some team events that are open, but the points events are six lakes that you fish for angler of the year at the end of the year, and your standings are, you know, your total weight. That's how you get points. We got Honeyoy is a points event, Loon, Canisius, and a few other ones. The schedule's not in front of me, so I don't have it.
That's right cool. There. That's cool, man. And I know you told me off air, you know, weather hasn't been contributing, so the first two events of the year haven't gone as planned. But yeah. I know we're talking about ice fishing, but hopefully right now we're getting some good freezing going on, and we'll all be out on the hard water soon. Now, does a regular Joe have a chance? Because when I hear Ice Masters Elite, it's kind of intimidating. Well, what's the spectrum of talent?
Well, you know what? The field, in the last 4 or 5 years, Jeremy, the field's gotten so big that the average Joe has been placing more than the pros, if you will. You know what I mean? These guys just come out of the woodwork and they amaze you with their talents. You know what I mean? And so the average Joe has great chance of getting education if they want to learn, especially if they want to learn different bodies of water and different techniques. And they absolutely got a chance of placing.
Well, Mark, you can jump in on this as well. So let's just say we're going to a lake for the first time. If it's thawed and it's open water, you know, I have a foundation of knowledge where I can break down the lake, use my graph, maybe a map or something, and at least try to establish a pattern. But whenever I walk out onto the ice, if I don't have summer knowledge in my head of said body of water, I'm clueless.
Fishing the ice is a lot like fishing Lake Erie or out in Lake Ontario because it's just a big flat area. When I go to Sodus and fish, I know the area. So I know what I'm looking for. And setting up a pattern for me when I'm ice fishing is a little bit different because it's not like when I'm in my boat and I can zip across the bay in 2 minutes to get to another spot. So basically, I'm looking at a map. I'm looking at rock piles, weeds, depth, and you don't really know where the fish are until you get out and start fishing and check the depth. I'll go out and check 10 feet, fish there for a couple minutes, nothing. I'll move out deeper, dropping my flasher down, but checking to see what's down there.
You know, I just imagine you just got to find the ice version of covering water when you get out there. So is the object to just drill and fish as many holes as you can? Mike, why don't you jump in on this one?
Mark said a key thing right there. Mark fishes Sodus a lot. Mark knows Sodus Bay very well. Mark knows where the good weeds are and where there is no weeds. You know, if you go to a lake blind, that's the, you want to know where the weeds are, you know, because they hold the oxygen, they hold the bait fish, and that's where you want to start. You know, bay fishing's pretty easy as far as like Braddock Bay and stuff. It's 4 foot of water and just it's got sporadic weeds. But when you start getting into sodas and stuff, you know, you get a year where weeds didn't grow at one place, and that's where you're going to spend all your time. You might not catch any fish.
You know, before we go sending people out onto this ice, I always have to remind myself to make sure I got my safety equipment. Every year we hear something bad, you know, either somebody falls through. Gosh, what, didn't some people break off a chunk and float towards Canada? Chameau in the North Country there. So your must-haves as far as safety equipment go.
You know, I just bought, was probably one of the most important things to me, is I just bought a 50-foot rope with a big clip on the end. And I can chuck that thing out if somebody falls through, and they can just wrap it around them, clip it, and I can pull them in with it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I always have a big rope, you know, a big rope with me, and I carry that with me in case I need it.
All right, your safety picks around your neck. We always have those. And, man, I always want to invest in one of those flotation
I got them. I got floaties that go on my arms. They're little ducks.
No kidding?
Yeah.
A lot of the suits, they come flotate. Striker's one that I've been looking at that floats. So if you fall through, you actually float.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, those are the ones I'm talking about. And they're just like the top part of your coveralls, but cha-ching, my friend.
They're 180 for the bibs, and I think it's almost 200 for the top.
Yeah.
But when you fall in that water, it's worth it.
Well, when you fall in that water's like 36, 37 degrees. You could float all you want. Don't fish alone if you don't know, you know, how the ice conditions are.
Dude, we're not going to make fun of you for wearing floaties. We just don't know why you have them on right now. That's the weird thing.
They're in my truck. You want me to get them?
You know, one of the safest things you could do is like have a guy like Mike with you to go out first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as soon as the ice starts cracking, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I am gone.
In all seriousness, do you guys take one of those
spuds?
Yeah, spud bars out there?
Some do. I go out and I'll just walk out and I'll drill and go right through and see how deep the ice is.
Are you guys still using hand crank augers, gas powered? Are you moved on to the ion?
No, I actually got a clam plate with a drill on it that I moved to this year. I have a Jiffy propane, but that thing's a tank.
Yeah.
You know, if there's 2 foot ice, I want to bring that. But if there's anything less than that, I got a clam plate with a drill, and that just goes right through.
And Mark has kids, so he doesn't have to to drill.
Well, I still do hand.
Mark's got a lot of kids because he's involved with the schools and stuff, you know. So, you know, it's nothing to see Mark out there with half a dozen kids.
No, just starting out, multi-purpose ice fishing. Is an 8 the way to go? An 8-inch or 4-inch? I mean, because I know at some point, if your hole gets too big, you know, that can be a deterrent.
Don't 6-inch, I'd say.
I use 8 for pike and stuff. Actually, all my augers are 8 because, you know, that's what I have. I use 8 for the pike and stuff and the panfish because I got a couple more inches to play them. Especially when you get those big gills and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of panfish guys like 6, you know.
Good stuff. Our guests in studio this morning are Mike Rogers from Ice Masters Elite Tournament Series, also president of the Sodus Point Bass Club, and our other guest, Mark Hertline. Mark's a fishing instructor, tournament angler, and pro staffer for many fine brands. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about fishing for the perch through the ice. We're really going to dial in on that species. We're going to talk about rods, reels, line, terminal tackle, what to do in shallow water, deep water, all sorts of stuff, and that's coming up next right here at Taking It Outdoors on 92.5 WBEE. Well, good morning and welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. We are joined in studio today by my ice fishing friends. We have Mike Rogers with us from the Ice Masters Elite Tournament Series. Mike is also president of the Sodus Point Bass Club. And sitting next to him is our old pal Mark Hertline. Mark's a fishing instructor. He's a tournament angler and pro staffer for many great brands like Shimano, Power Pro, G. Loomis, and Mr. Twister. I could keep going on, but you get the point. The guy knows his stuff. One of the top species people go after in our region through the ice is perch. Fair to say?
Yes.
So let's talk about catching them. What's the best approach there? Just a general old ice fishing rig and reel, anything will work. I know enough to know that. But what kind of line are we putting on there? I don't want to go too big. I don't want to go too small. Talk to me.
I use two-pound test pretty much for everything, but you get stepped up to four, you know. And it all depends on where you're at. Like the Edgemere Drive, the ponds and stuff, and Sodas Bay, guys love running tip-downs. Because you put out 5-6 tip-downs, you stand there, you talk to your buddy, oop, there's one, oop, there's one. You know, you get on in the deeper water, you know, you get on Canisius and Honeyoy and stuff like that where you're fishing 20-foot, tip-downs are a little harder to handle because you got to hand line them in. You know, so it's easier. That's where your Vexlar comes in, or you mark them and you sit there and jig the fish.
Now, how do your shallow water approaches differ than deep water approaches? You understand what I'm asking you there,
yeah,
Mark?
Yeah. When I'm shallow watering, I'm using jigs, smaller jigs, and I might tip them with spikes and minnows also. But I'm not in the deep water. I'm using lipless crankbaits. I'm using Swedish pimples. I'm using the jigging wraps. In the shallower water, I'm not using them as much because I don't think you're working the bait as much.
Yeah. All right. I understand that. So we're going out deep. And what do we do out there?
Deep. I'll use a lipless crankbait, the Ultralight, Rapalas. A Swedish Pimple is a great one. And I use them all the way up to 2.5 inches, the lipless crankbaits. And I get a lot of big perch on them things.
So basically, it's a four-point approach to this. You got your swimming lures, your flashing lures, your jigs, and live bait. And you can put that live bait on two of the other three?
All of them.
All of them? Yeah. You'll put a perch minnow or a grub, a spike or waxworm?
I'll put a minnow on a lipless crankbait.
What about, that's a vertical jigging kind
of? Yeah, well, you know, the ones you use for bass in the springtime that are so great? Right. I just downsize them a little bit. And you'll get big perch in the walleye on them out at Oneida. And I'll rip off a minnow head and stick a fathead on there sometimes.
Most fishermen are liars. Are you picking up?
I've got
video.
I'm sure he
does. I've got video right here.
That's funny, man. I never have had much luck with jigging with those crankbaits like that. But I know guys absolutely
I love it.
Hammer them. And it makes sense. You know, big bait, big fish.
Yeah, and I catch small fish on it too, which is, you know, they hit it.
For the most part, Mike, what are you putting on the end of your lines? I mean, don't give everybody your personal secrets, but just broad stroke me. Oh. You're showing me like KVD rattle tracks.
Yeah. Lipless crank.
What do you get, like the little 1.5 inch ones?
Yeah, up to 2.25, 2.5.
That big?
Yeah.
For a perch?
Yeah.
I've been going out at,
I wasn't,
about it.
I didn't fish for them on purpose. I was checking out a new rod and reel I had with that bait on it for Oneida, fishing for the walleye. And I started catching them at Sodas. And I'm like, why am I stopping this?
No,
it makes
then
sense. I started getting my good perch on them.
So what's the spectrum of your bag of tricks over there?
All depends on what lake I'm on and you know, if it's a lake or a bay and what I'm doing.
Canisius, go.
Canisius, I'm using, if I'm fishing bluegills I'm in the shallow water, I'm using small jigs. If I'm going out for the perch, you know, 12 to 18 foot of water, I'm usually fishing a dead stick, being, you know, basically a sinker with a couple hooks on it with minnows. And then, you know, a Swedish pimple or a jigging wrap, fire tire or something like that.
And you just keep mixing them up till you get a couple bites and then
just keep moving around till you find the school. You know, when you find the school, you're there for a reason.
All right, Mark, tell me something I don't know about ice fishing.
How to work a flasher?
Well, all right, we can get right to that. I absolutely am clueless. I've been pretending when people talk about these Vexilars and or the different flashers out there, and I'll be out with my friends that have them, and like, oh, there goes a perch, there's a northern, and I'm looking at a broken tachometer.
Yeah.
That's all I see in my head.
Yeah, it's funny because the younger guys, which you're one of the younger guys, they didn't grow up with flashers. Me and Mike grew up with flashers on our bass boats. That's how we read, depth and everything back then.
Well, how does it work? Give me the philosophy.
So basically, it's a circle, and then it's got distances on the outside of the circle and some on the inside. And you can hone it in. You can 2X it, which is, it zooms it in and out. Basically, you're going to see a line on the top. if you're dropping your bait down, you can watch your this line go down around the circle, and there'll be a solid line, thick line on the bottom. And then you bring your bait down. What I do is I drop my bait all the way to the bottom. This is when I'm fishing 20 feet, 18, you know, that depth. I'll bring it up, and then I'll start jigging it. And I can literally watch my bait go up and down. I've got a FL18 Vexlar. It'll pick up my tiny little swivels on my line when it's going down. So I read them, too. But what happens is you'll see nothing there, and then all of a sudden you'll see something come off the bottom. And depending on how big the fish is, the thickness the line is. And you can say, you know, I've sat there and had people jigging saying, okay, get ready, it's coming up. They're like, I don't understand what that is. I go, it's going to hit right now, and then bam.
Yeah, for me to have any luck, I'd probably have to get the graph off of my trolling motor and just put it on a broomstick and
shove it
down.
A lot of people
there.
Do go to them now, but if you could actually stand the cold for a little bit, we could get you reading a flasher pretty quick. Yes, I'm referring to Port Bay.
All right, yeah.
And then you never fish without one.
I mean, you know, Mark brings up every time, it doesn't matter if it's in the dead of summer, he brings up the time it was too cold for me ice fishing on Port Bay. I think the high that day was 2. So cut me a little slack. And
I don't think me and Jeff Hoffman were even wearing jackets that day.
I'm not as insulated as you guys.
That is true.
Mark Ertline is our guest this morning. Also, Mike Rogers from Ice Masters Elite. And he's the president of the Sodus Point Bass Club. We're going to get into the Northern Pike in the next segment. Learned a lot. Appreciate you guys' knowledge on the perch. But we're going to get into the Northern Pike in the next segment. And then if we have time, I want to talk about some streams and river fishing as well, if time permits. All that is coming up right here on Taking It Outdoors on 92.5 WBEE. Hey friends, good morning and welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. We're getting ready for ice fishing season. We hope the lakes are doing the same for that matter. Our guests in studio this morning here at Taking It Outdoors are Mark Hertline and Mike Rogers. Mark is a fishing instructor. He's a tournament angler, a fishing guide, and a pro staffer for many great brands. And Mike Rogers has contributed to this program many times through the years. He's from Ice Masters Elite. It's an ice fishing tournament series. You can just look for him on Facebook, Ice Masters Elite. He's also president of the Sodus Point Bass Club. Now, to review, we've talked about how breaking down a fishery and coming up and trying to establish a pattern through the ice. We've talked about quantity versus quality of holes that we drill. You've explained to me how the flasher works, and I'm about halfway there to understanding it. I'm going to have some hands-on time there. We've talked a little safety, we've talked about augers, and we've talked about catching perch. Now, let's shift our attention towards the northern pike. Now, the obvious differences to me is if I'm targeting the northern pike, I got to get off that two-pound line you were telling me about in the last segment, right? What's the minimum for these toothy guys?
Well, you know, everybody's got their own way of fishing for them. I've tried everything. Guys will tell you 20-pound fluorocarbon, 30-pound fluorocarbon, you know, 20-pound braid. I've had them break it all. Yeah, and being in a tournament, that could have been the fish. You know, you never know. It could have, would have, should have been the fish. So I go with micro leaders. They're not the black plastic ones. They're steel leaders. They're actually probably like 6-pound test diameter. Because I know they're not going to cut through it, but you know what? The guys fishing the fluorocarbon and stuff, you know, with the monofilament, they'll catch more fish. Well, they'll hook more fish. Landing them is a different story.
Right. They get line shy on that, you're saying, yeah, a little bit.
But with the fluorocarbon, that gets stiffer in cold water.
Yeah, so it boils up.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'd go to fluorocarbon over mono.
Yeah, I mean, guys are putting 18-inch leader on there, so there ain't a whole lot you got to worry about. But it still coils right up when it comes off, you know. Got to relax in the water.
Same philosophy if I'm rigging up a tip-up?
As far as?
The line goes. Or do I just start with a heavier base? And
what I do is on all my flags, whether I have two separate sets of flags. One's for perch, panfish, walleyes. You know, they're obviously smaller hooks. You know, number size 10 trebles. My pike rigs are like number 6 trebles. I use fluorocarbon on my perch rigs and panfish rigs. And I use the micro leaders on the pike rigs. I put a bullet sinker on there. So when a fish hits it and runs with it, the bullet sinker will sit on the bottom and the line will run through it instead of a split shot catching every weed.
Right.
And he's like, this ain't no good. I'm spitting it.
Do a lot of people do that? Or is
no,
that...
and I probably should not have said that.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But being a bass fisherman, you know, it's in my blood.
That's some bonus knowledge for everybody out there. Mark, what's your approach?
Well, I don't fish for the pike that much, to be honest with you. I love the perch. I jig everything. I don't use tip-ups or flags, anything. I hold on to all my fishing rods, and I jig. And I might set one or two up. If I am going to go for pike, I go to the heavier line. I'm still using fluoro. And, you know, I'll just put a big minnow on, and let's set this one out here. But Mike's more diverse than his.
Right.
I want the perch, and I want the walleye.
And you can't sit still, so
no.
You always got to be moving around.
Mike's a lot better ice fisherman than I am. I'll give him that.
All right. So with the northern pike, what do they do, you know, seasonally this time of year? Are they like most other things, your predator fish? Are they going deep, or are they coming in? Because they'll scavenge as well, right?
Oh yeah.
You get a lot of die-off in the shallow, so I would imagine is it a deep game or is it a shallow game with them?
I've caught my biggest pike in less than a foot of water. Reason being is, pike are just cruisers. You ever been sitting there jigging and you're like, whoa, one just came by your hole?
Right.
You know what I mean? They're cruisers. I've caught my biggest pike in less than a foot of water because they chase the bait fish up there. Bait fish can't jump out of the water like they do in the spring or all summer, right? You see bait fish scatter, you're throwing your bait over there. They can't jump. They go in there, they ambush them. And, you know, so I definitely fish shallow. And I fish the weed lines and stuff, but I always got a few flags in the shallow stuff.
Now, will they partake grass over rock most days?
Depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, I
understand.
I don't think it's any different than fishing the open water. Right. I mean, they'll go shallow. Sometimes you can't get the perch out deep. I got to come in shallow or vice versa.
Yeah,
you know, it all depends on that day.
I mean, they wouldn't stop being predators, so the philosophy of catching them wouldn't be different than in the summer, just the technique.
Right, and they don't slow down either. Everybody thinks that, you know, like largemouth, they're more lethargic. Yeah, maybe. But they're still eating. They still eat.
Right.
You know, they don't move as fast because the baitfish isn't moving as fast.
Now, will northern pike, I mean, even if you're fishing shallow or you're fishing deep, you mentioned they're cruisers. Do they, to your knowledge, cruise in the top of the column? Are they bottom huggers?
Well, pike can only see up. So, you know, the way their eyes are positioned in their head, they can only see up. So that's why a lot of guys, they when they're fishing live bait, they put it, you know, halfway down the water column, two-thirds. Now, when you're fishing dead bait, as far as smelt, herring, something like that, those fish are loaded with oils. And I love fishing dead bait because you put it right on the bottom. And the oil, when you put them in the water, it's like you poured WD-40 in there,
sure.
Just oil. The oil comes up, it hits their nostrils, they follow that right in, and then if you ever seen videos when pike attack, they turn on their side and pick something right up off the bottom, that's what they do. They follow that trail right in, and they're like, it's right there. But pike, pike can only see up.
Remember that old show, Hook and Look, where the guy would scuba
Kim
dive?
Kim Stricker, still on.
Yeah, I was watching that one time, and they got great footage of this northern pike just running through, scooping up frogs just like that.
Yeah.
It would just get on its side and just come right out. Pretty cool stuff. Now, as far as your holes that you'll drill for targeting northern pike, are you just spreading out as much as you can? Or are you trying to like make I've seen guys that'll make like a triangle. I've seen guys that'll do like a rectangle that look like dominoes kind of approach. What's your strategy?
I put my flags and I stay far away from them and try to keep everybody away from them, because walking on ice is just like having somebody walking above your head upstairs in an apartment or something.
Yeah.
The worst thing you could do is run to a flag. Everybody does that. We got a flag. They start running. It's boom, 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 boom on top of the ice. Fish runs and drops it. You're like, oh, I didn't get anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never would have thought of that.
So I stay far away from my flags as possible, and when they go up, I got indicators on, you know, most of the flags you got nowadays. You can see if the fish is running and stuff. And, you know, there's different things. If he's running real slow, it's generally a big fish. If he just tears off, it's a smaller fish because he doesn't want anybody else to get it.
Now, Go ahead.
No.
If you're, I mean, also, you know, when you're trying to catch a predator in the water, you know, I know in the summer we'll play on their other senses as well, not only the eating, but you mentioned the scent trail from the oily live baits. But the guys that will use your swimming lures or flashers, so put scent on there as well if you want. That can't hurt you. But what about like rattlers and other things that'll make noise, like not banging on the ice noise, but knocking and stuff like that?
We use on our live bait. I always put a couple flags out. My buddy makes them, and you can buy them in stores and stuff. They got little spinner bait, you know, above the treble, a little spinner bait, like nickel blade or. You know, obviously the red and white pike love that, the daredevil color. Mm-hmm. You know, got a little spinnerbait blade above there, so when the minnow turns, it's extra flash. I always got a couple of them out there.
Good stuff. Mark, you got anything to add to that, or are you just over there in awe of Mike's knowledge?
I was kind of laughing when he was saying running over, because the last time I ran over to a flag, I pretty much wiped out the whole area. Bait was flying because... You know, one of the best things to get, we were talking about safety, but buy the cleats for your boots.
Absolutely.
Little yak trackers?
Yes. Yep,
really?
Unbelievable.
They're the best.
I've gone all night on black ice, and it took me forever to get where I was going. The guys had the cleats on, and they walk right out there. I fell so many times.
Huh.
The ones you buy in the base store and stuff, the ones for $8 or whatever,
yeah.
Yak tracks are only 20. They fall off. So you're walking, and you're like, oh, I lost it. And you're slipping.
Yeah, I'd rather shuffle than use
it's
those.
30, it's 30 yards behind you. You got to go get it, and it falls off again. The yak tracks are definitely the way to go.
Good stuff. You're only going to learn here at Taking It Outdoors. We have one more segment to go, and we want to shine the light on the Ice Masters Elite Tournament Fishing Series that will be underway shortly. They should have already had an event or two, but the weather hasn't cooperated. But it looks like we are trending in that direction, and we will start the conversation there when we return. Right here at Taking It Outdoors on 92.5 WBEE. Hey friends, good morning and welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. We're in the home stretch here as we're learning a little about ice fishing today. Our guests in studio are Mike Rogers and Mark Hertline. Mark's a fishing instructor, a tournament angler, a pro staffer, fishing guide, an all-around great guy. Mike over here, he is a tournament director for the Ice Masters Elite Tournament Series. It's an ice fishing tournament series. If you want more information, we are encouraging you to visit their Facebook page. Just search Ice Masters Elite. And Mike's also president of the Sodus Point Bass Club. So thanks for all your tips and your information about the perch fishing and the northern pike fishing. But real quick, man, do you get into much crappie through the ice?
Oh, yeah.
How does would your strategy differ if you happen to get into a little crappie? Is it the same as panfish and perch?
Yeah. I mean, guys like to go at night. I'm not a big night fisherman, you know, but guys do go at night. But we got some great crappie fishing here through the ice. You just got to go find them.
Yeah, that's the hard part, man.
Yeah.
And the guys that do find them don't like to talk about it.
Well, that's why I'm keeping my mouth shut.
I understand. Right,
so.
I wasn't going to pressure you.
I'll take you. I won't tell you.
Thank you. I'll take you up on that, because then I'll just come in here the next week. I would never do that. Mike, when's your next event for Ice Masters Elite? You know, I know the weather hasn't been as friendly as it could. Well, you haven't had an event. It hasn't been friendly at all.
We had to cancel, too. We had January 5th on Oneida, Big Bay. That's all open water, and then this week we got a team event on Juanita. That's going to be canceled. That's all open water. So we're shooting for January 19th, Loon Lake.
Well, Loon will be among the first to freeze. It's not that deep. It's not that big.
Yeah, guys have already been on there, you know. And then after that we have Braddock Bay, you know, the little hometown hero stuff. And then Honeyoy, Canisius, Cuca. Which probably ain't going to happen, not with this weather.
Yeah, that's so deep.
But you get on Cuca, I mean, we did last year. The fishing's phenomenal right there at the north end.
I bet you go down to Loon Lake and it's pretty, well, I don't know. I was thinking, you go down to Loon Lake, you got a lot of guys that probably don't fish Loon Lake a lot, so the playing field's probably more even than other places. But I would imagine at Braddock's, is that an open?
Yeah, yep.
Dude, the locals out there.
Well, we had one there a couple years ago. It was huge. You know, because Kurt Hanbach does one, Romegs, and all those guys come down. I fish theirs, too. I sit on the board for the Romegs tournament, too.
Yeah, that's a big
Kurt's
one.
Kurt's a great dude. But one of the big events, this is going to be our classic, is the Sodus Point Ice Fishing Tournament, February 3rd. That's going to be at the Bay Bridge Sports Shop right there in Sodus. And then we're going to see what Mark Hertline has on the ice.
Yeah, I'll be at that one.
Yeah, just one for you this year, Mark?
Pretty much. I don't like to get out and do the tournaments too much with the ice fishing with my schedule, but I want to get a couple of his because I know he runs a good tournament.
And he's a sore loser, isn't he?
I'm horrible at losing.
The Sodus Point one's going to be exciting because it's just like our Rock Bass tournament. It's two adults. It's a team event, and if you got a kid under 16, they could fish on the team. But Mark's got a bunch of kids from school. Fishing clubs. Wendy Underhill has kids from School of the Arts. So we're out there to, it's not cutthroat. We're out there to teach.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm really excited about that because it's going to be just a laid-back good time.
Did you mention all the year? I don't want to leave off any events. Let's market them. Let's bang the drum. Again, my Ice Masters Elite is an ice fishing tournament series. If you want more information, just look for them on Facebook.
Yeah, we got, after Cuca, we got Honey Oi and Silver. You can go right on Facebook, and the schedule's right there. We'll answer any questions you have.
You know what the three of us need to do, and we'll end on this. Have you guys, and I thought of this while we were talking about the Northern Pike, have you ever heard of or watched the videos of the guys spearfishing for Northerns?
Not Northerns, but sturgeon.
Yeah, man. I got into a thread of videos on YouTube earlier this week at some point, and what guys do, it's like North Dakota, Wyoming, Wisconsin, even up in Michigan on these lakes that are kind of shallow, but get a good layer of ice on there, and they go out and they'll just use a chainsaw and they'll cut a big rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just bust that ice up, cut it all up, and then they'll stand there and wait for them to swim by, and they'll use like a harpoon and spear them. I was like, man, that looks like fun. I know.
It would be fun to do.
But, I mean, what are the odds?
Jigging them up to them. They're not just waiting.
I think
they're using a bait and they have them jigging them up to them.
Oh, I didn't see that on the video.
Yeah, check it again. They might be doing that.
So they're chumming the water?
Well, they're not necessarily chumming, but they might have a stick bait in there moving it or something to attract them.
Oh, so they're nosing a bait and then they're doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like
it
anymore.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think so.
All right.
It's like how they do it with the pigs. You don't think they...
Yeah.
Those pigs are coming in there for a reason. There's a bait pile somewhere.
Oh, man. I didn't... I'm so innocent.
We're sorry we ruined it for you.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm not as cynical as you guys. Maybe I should...
It's still as fun. You're still doing the, the whole act.
Yeah. Well, so what other kind of fish? We got a couple more minutes to go. What other kind of fish do you like to spend some time chasing this time of year?
Mark likes to go after the walleyes. I go out there, it's limited for me, but they're a ball to catch.
I've never caught one. Never.
Oh,
once.
On a night it's great. You're in 30-something, and only 30 feet deep, but you're out there.
Give me a quick lesson.
I'm using the same baits that I actually just told you, the lipless crankbaits, the jigging wraps, putting a minnow on them and jigging them.
Well, Mark, you make it sound like your tackle box is the size of my cell phone. You got one lure in it.
I was thinking about this today because I'm like, all right, we're going to talk about what I use. And I go, people make fishing. Look at, I got buddies that can sit here and tell you every single lure ever made, every color. They go by weights. You know how I check a weight if I want to use it? I put it in my hand and go, yeah, that feels right. If it's a 3/8 or a half, I don't know, but I feel it. And I go, that's what I want to use. I instinct fish. I don't need to have a ton of baits and know how to, every single lure there is. I just want to fish.
Mark, dude, I'm trying to do a good radio program here, and you're just destroying the credibility of my guests, man.
I gave Mike props.
I was supposed to be bringing in experts in here.
But I think people get too involved in, I should be using this lure, that color. What you should do is cut things down and concentrate on a few.
Hard.
Oh, I'm the same way, man. No, you're exactly right. We're just busting chops and detracting from that. Yeah, I'm the worst. I take something that should be simple, and I complicate the crap out of it.
Yeah.
You know, then I start getting in my own head, and then instead of doing one thing wrong, I'm doing four things wrong. So good stuff. Again, if you want more information on the ice fishing tournament series Mike was just talking about, just go on to Facebook and search Ice Masters Elite. Guys, I appreciate you coming in. I hope and I'm sure our paths will cross before the annual Sotus Point Bass Club
Rocky tournament
in the spring.
I'll be at the Great Niagara Outdoor Show. Nice. The 18th through the 20th.
That's where Mark scored us our Shaw Grigsby interview last year.
Mark Menendez, hopefully this year.
All right, man. Line that up. That's awesome. That's where Mark interviews somebody, and then I just sit back and play it, and he does the show.
And he cuts me out of the interview.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I let him ask the questions live, but then there would be no place for me if I didn't do that. My ego will not allow it. Mike, thanks for coming in today, man.
Absolutely.
Be safe on the ice. Same to you, Mark.
Thanks.
We appreciate
Love you, Mike.
We appreciate your time as well, and I was glad I was able to bring you two together because y'all certainly don't spend enough time with one another. Everybody, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow morning with TJ Sharp and Steve Hausman with the B Morning Coffee Club. Bob Kingsley and the American Country Countdown are next right here at 92.5 WBEE.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.